Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that's just waiting for Disney to realize the full potential of a Deadpool crossover movie, it's SIFPA. Welcome to Sift Pop, available in your podcast feed every Monday, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Because patrons get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's still waiting for that Borderlands check to clear. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoy.
And she thought Furiosa was the Garfield movie. It's Alice Ginevra McKelly.
Let's not talk about it. It's been a rough summer.
And he tried to put the movie Kingdom of the Despicable Fall Guys Ride or Die Day One in every position on his list. It's John Paula.
Heyo. You just came guns blazing with these roasts, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And each week we'll chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. That's right. It is time. It is the Summer Sum Game Results Show. I don't know. Felt like it needed a fanfare or something. We have finished out the summer. Labor Day has come and gone, and we have the totals, and boy, are there things to talk about. And we're going to talk about all of those things here in a bit. We'll talk about underperformers and overperformers and our best predictions and our worst predictions. And then we'll get to the results between the four of us. We'll talk about the results between the four of us, or the five of us, I should say. I don't want to forget ChatGPT as one of the five. ChatGPT, spoiler alert.
Entity that we love.
Spoiler alert, did not win, but came really close to beating one of us. We'll talk about who later. And then, of course, we're going to kick it off with some buried treasure, because we like to do that. What's that one thing in any area of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about? Jonathan, why don't you kick us off with your buried treasure?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just watched a action movie starring Pierce Brosnan from 1992, featuring explosions and terrorism and Washington, D.C. bureaucracy. And I had never heard of Live Wire until I sat down to watch it a few nights ago. And it is great. It is like a solid, quick, like 91-minute actioner. Pierce Brosnan in his pre-Bond era, playing opposite Ben Cross and Ron Silver. And he is having a great time with a script that involves invisible liquid explosions where U.S. senators are drinking what they think is water. It turns out to be a bomb. It mixes with their stomach acid, and then they explode. So Brosnan has to come in as a bomb defusal guy to figure out what's going on and what's exploding all these senators. And it is a great time. It is not a movie that takes itself seriously, but there are a lot of great set pieces. It's kind of sardonic and like darkly funny in a few places, and I really enjoyed it. It was a really good kind of sleepy, throw it on as you're falling asleep kind of a movie, and I would recommend Live Wire if you like dumb action movies from the 90s, which, of course, my bread and butter.
I think I saw this back in the day and completely forgot it existed.
Yeah.
I just looked at the poster. I was like, I think I remember, and then you were talking about the explosion part of it or whatever, and I was like, I think I actually saw
there's a part where Pierce wrestles a clown in a fountain, and then slight spoiler here, the clown explodes. It's very exciting, but it has less than 3,000 logs on Letterboxd, which is, it seems like this is a legitimately like above average action film starring a very well-known commodity, and there's some great villains in it, some good dialogue, and the whole third act is basically Home Alone. They're in like a Washington, D.C. mansion, and all these goons are trying to get in. And Brosnan's just using his bomb disposal techniques to fashion new weapons. And it kind of plays like Home Alone with adults. I had a lot of fun with it. And I had no expectations going in. And those are my favorite discoveries.
Nice. I'll go next. I caught up on a movie I've been meaning to watch for a while. This goes in the serious pile. This is one of those movies you pull out when you're like, you know what? I'm in the space where I think I could watch something meaningful and serious. It is a German film from a while back called The Lives of Others. I think it's about 20 years old, somewhere in that range. It is phenomenal. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Great performances. It takes place during the rise of Nazi Germany, or kind of right in the heart of Nazi Germany, and follows different people in different aspects of their life and how they are coping with the invasive, Stasi, you know, looking in on everybody and trying to get people to turn everybody in and report on people. And it follows an artist who is I believe, a playwright, who is trying to weigh what he should do as an artist to write about what the Nazis are doing in Germany and try to get it out of Germany so that people can see what's going on. And then it follows a Stasi member who is on his watch. They've bugged his home, and he is watching him and listening to him, I should say. And what happens with that person. And I found it moving and interesting and subtle and nuanced. It doesn't deal directly, as many World War II movies do, with the absolute atrocities of World War II. Like, it's not the kind of movie that is necessarily about that perspective. It's a completely different perspective. Everyone that this movie deals with pretty much is a person of privilege in that world, right? They're not a person that is necessarily, looking to be put in a camp or something like that. They're a person of privilege. So it's kind of dealing with how different people of privilege dealt with their role in what was going on. But I found it fascinating and beautiful and really worth watching.
I hate to be that guy. This movie does not take place in the 40s. It takes place in the 80s during the Berlin Wall.
Cold War.
Yeah, the Cold War.
Oh, interesting. That's wild that I totally misplaced that in history.
Yeah.
I was really confused because I thought you said The Lives of Others, and I'm like, that is a brilliant movie. I watched it for the first time a year ago, and I loved it. But I'm pretty sure that was Cold War. I think it was the
80s. 1984, like, this takes place during the Berlin Wall. Yeah, the Cold War.
That's right. It is during the Berlin Wall. That's just a brain mistake on my part.
That's okay. It happens. And the parallels are pretty analogous anyway. So it's not – you're not totally off base with anything you said. Just the time period. Swap out Nazis for just – sort of
Stasi.
East German.
Nazi, yeah, Stasi. Right. Close enough.
Yes. Yes. So anyhow, Germans kept wanting people to report on people all the way into the 80s, guys. And as I said very clearly from the beginning, this takes place during that time. And is incredible either way, because it is an incredible look at people's different reactions and responsibilities in places where there is a very clear dictatorship wanting things to be seen a certain way and go a certain way. So, yeah, there you go.
I recently had the good fortune to have dinner with and catch up with my high school TV production teacher, who was one of my most important role models, a mentor, and a guy who taught me mostly everything I know about video editing. And it's great that I still keep touch with him 20 years later. And we were talking about movies, as we always do, and he mentioned that The Lives of Others is his favorite. So that is a big ringing endorsement from someone who literally teaches media literacy to our youth. This is his favorite movie.
Yeah,
I think that says a lot about the power of that story and the performances and just the metaphors that are still applicable, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yep, as applicable in 2024 as they were in 1984 and even back in the 40s.
It's 1944.
That just forgives my entire mistake, because that is how history works. Alice, what do you got?
I have a film that is currently out right now and everybody should go see because it is awesome, which is Zoe Kravitz's debut as director, Blink Twice. It is... Okay, so... I do not know anything going into this film. I'd seen the first trailer, but I hadn't, like, fully paid attention to it. And I was like, ah, it looks interesting. And then, you know, went to go see it because of another thing. And I walked out in shock. Like, it was so well-crafted. I felt similar to how I felt after I'd seen Promising Young Woman in terms of, like, I cannot wait to see what she does next regarding Emerald Fennell. And then she gave us Saltburn. So I'm very, very excited. I think Zoe Kravitz has clearly been sitting and listening and learning and has finally and just put it all into production. Obviously, she also has her fiance Channing Tatum in this. And the funniest Letterboxd review, which is not a spoiler, which I read about this film, was somebody going, "Woo, he about to make a name for himself." And it is so accurate. Like, I remember thinking last year, oh, you know, I haven't seen Channing Tatum in anything for a while. There was like Magic Mike 4, but maybe his star's falling. And now between this and, you know, something else he's in this year, I am so impressed. I think he's fantastic in this film. I think the whole cast is fantastic in this film, including I have to remember her name and I always mispronounce it, but she was in Hitman actually earlier this year. Adria Arjona, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's fantastic in this as well. I think this is her best performance to date. Christian Slater's also in it. Haley Joel Osment, Naomi Aki, Aaliyah Shawkat. It's crazy. And I'm not going to tell you much about the film itself, except that it kind of lulls you into a false sense of security. Oh, Kyle MacLachlan's also in it for Twin Peaks fans and, you know, those sort of things. Lulls you, and then it's just you walk out horrified, especially if you're a woman, you will walk out extremely horrified, and I feel like if you're a man, you'll walk out extremely uncomfortable. But, like, in, like, a good way in terms of, like, that's what the film's trying to make you feel. It is not for the faint of heart, not because it's like overly gory or anything, just because the themes it is exploring are some of the most serious themes you can explore. But it is, in my opinion, one of the best films of the year. It's like my number three of the year so far. I'm super impressed. Please go see Blink twice. And I want to see more from Zoe Kravitz.
I'm going to see it tonight now.
Good. Well, there's a more than 0% chance it'll be one of the reviews next week. Okay. So so it's, you know, it's quite possible we'll be hearing more about
it. Well, part of the reason I wanted to bring it up is because I will be in India next week and those time zones absolutely do not align here. So I didn't. So just in case. So now we all know my thoughts and I look forward to hearing further thoughts potentially.
Potentially. Andrew, what do you got for your buried treasure?
I'm going to go with a stand-up comedian. Nice. His name is Josh Johnson. I think he's a young up-and-comer in the comedy stage. I just found him recently. And I think that this young guy is brilliant. He is so funny. I'd like to think of him as the Bob Ross of comedians.
Yeah.
Because just sitting down and listening to him talk, it's very soothing and relaxing. He's very articulate. He doesn't say ah or a lot like I do. very funny because, like, he'll be talking about things and then he'll say something along the lines of, like, you matter, like what your thoughts are important and stuff. And, like, you know, very uplifting and, you know, positive things. And then every now and then he'll sprinkle in something, a little joke, you know, about, you know, maybe the political climate right now or something that's going on in social media. But at the end of it, he always has a message that he likes to talk to people about. And I'll tell you what, aside from him being a great comedian, he puts out content like nobody's business. Like, putting out a 30-minute stand-up once or twice a month is impressive.
That's impressive.
A 30-minute stand-up once or twice a month, that is all new material, all brand new stuff. That is quite the task. And he's a traveling comedian as well. He's not going up on YouTube just posting stuff. He's going to actual clubs and everything. And yeah, I am very impressed, and I think he's going to be a very big name very soon.
Looks like he also has a couple podcasts you might want to check out. The Josh Johnson Show and Hold Up, which is a Daily Show podcast that he did with Dulce Sloan.
Yeah, he's a political pundit for the Daily Show at the moment.
Really?
So it's so funny because he does.
Like I said, I just found the guy like less than 3 days ago.
Josh Johnson.
What was his name?
Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson,
all right. And not the Josh Johnson that's quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens.
No. Apparently.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Daniel Sloss, in my opinion. The way he like presents comedy, but then will like insert actual real issues for people to think about is, it's really good. He's huge on TikTok.
Really? See, I don't do social media, so I find out stuff months after everybody else does.
I constantly get him on TikTok like all the time. So
really?
Yeah. Nice. He's really good.
Very cool. Well, that is Josh Johnson, a comedian you can find all over the place, really. Blink Twice is in theaters. Lives of Others is available on VOD. And Livewire, also available to rent or buy on VOD. So there you go. There's the buried treasure for this week. It is time now to get into the results of the Summer Sum Game.
Do we have to? Can we talk about other things? How's everybody's week been? Good?
It's been good. It's been great, actually. It's good times. Good times. All right. Here's how we're going to get into this. We're going to do a few categories before we really talk about the results. None of this is necessarily a shock or a surprise. If you've been paying attention or following online, you can have found all of this information out at any point. The numbers have come in. Okay. So I guess I do want to say... I'm going to save that. Let's go over the categories first. Let's talk about biggest underperformer. So this would be the movie that you think of the summer underperformed the most. And let's each select one and then maybe do a consensus for these. So, Andrew, why don't you kick us off? What do you think the biggest underperformer of the summer of 2024 was?
Well, if you look at my list, there's one glaring movie that sticks out that didn't get any points, and that is Borderlands. But I don't know if I want to go with that as my pick, so I'm going to go with The Fall Guy as my first pick. Even though it made the top 10.
It is in the top 10.
It made the top 10. It is number 10, but I'm going to pick it as the biggest underperformer because, A, it was the very first movie to come out of the year. And you have crazy star power with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. It should have been a lot higher on this list.
All right. Andrew says Borderland, or excuse me, The Fall Guy is his pick. Alice, what is your contribution to this category? Biggest underperformer of the summer?
So many. I'm going to go with Furiosa because I really, really like, I was like, it's everywhere. It's going to get so much money. Chris Hemp, No, nobody saw it. Everybody hates me.
Yeah, Furiosa coming in at number 14 for the summer, despite being, I think, on all of our lists somewhere.
So. I was going to say the answer to this question, not a nomination, but the answer is Furiosa. That all five of us picked it relatively high up. I don't think anybody had it lower than like 7. Mm-hmm. And yet, it just a complete swing and a miss on a property. I think we were all kind of bullish on and excited for.
Yep.
But if I can't pick that one, my other nomination will be Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 1, which failed so badly, they literally shelved Part 2. And I was on this show a few months ago hyping up, like, it's such an incredible gambit to do two movies 6 weeks apart, and then they just didn't do the second movie.
They're not doing the sequel now?
They're not. I mean, it's already done.
They produced it.
Yeah.
They're probably just release it on some streaming service.
They're figuring out what they want to do as far as release with any more of these movies, you know.
But it was supposed to be in cinemas 3 weeks ago, middle of August.
And especially as they were like, and there's two more after this. And it's like, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you hear a streaming miniseries
almost
you know, announcement.
Yellowstone,
if you will. Something like that. Okay, well, you guys have taken some good ones, but listen, it wasn't his official nomination, and I think it's got a really solid case to be the choice, and that's Borderlands. Borderlands came in 27th Wow. This summer. Yeah. 27th. It
as
made
it deserves.
15 million. That's it.
It's too much.
Movies that beat Borderlands. Are you ready for this? A movie called The Forge. Let me see The Forge. A movie that came out. Purple Crayon.
Did it really?
Yes. Beat Borderlands.
Kids.
Barely.
Yes.
By a million.
Barely. A 15th anniversary re-release of Coraline.
Yes, I did say that. That made me laugh.
Beat Borderlands.
Apparently, it's really nice. It's really good, though, because it's all remastered and stuff. So, you know.
Hey, you ever heard of a movie called Blink Twice?
Yeah. Hey, that deserves it.
In 1 week, yeah. Beat Borderlands.
That just came out. With the Crow beat the Borderlands?
I do not believe the Crow has overtaken Borderlands yet. But
the
anyways,
Crow's down in 37th place with 9 million.
I only mention all that. 27th is ridiculous for a movie, again, that two of us had in our top 10. And now those two were, I think, a little bit, you know,
bullish.
A little bit bullish on Borderlands. I don't think it ever really had a chance to be in the top 10, especially given where, you know, when it was going to be released. But 27th, I don't know. That's, to me, that for underperformance, you know, Cate Blanchett, big stars, big sci-fi effects, like a big video game property behind. Yeah, like that's about as underperforming as I can think of.
What do we attribute that massive disappointment too?
Just a bad movie.
It's a very bad movie. The
Borderlands franchise is very popular.
Yes,
I would have thought
It's not even like a Transformers or a Fast and the Furious where they're like, movies are bad, but whatever. They kind of give you entertainment. Or even like Five Nights at Freddy's, which again, movies are bad, but they kind of give you entertainment. It was just so boring.
It is a bad movie, but I think it's a combination of Borderlands fans hated it. Mm. And people who didn't have a relationship to Borderlands just weren't interested, no interest in it. So there was no audience for it once the Borderlands fans were out. It's still wild to me that it only made $15 million.
I would have guessed
that name recognition alone would have carried it to something slightly more impressive. Obviously it would fall off a cliff if word of mouth was bad, but that first weekend, you thought you would have got a little better than 15 million. Like that is like limited run, select cities only kind of. When Glass Onion premiered in literally two cities, it made 15 million. And that was literally a straight to Netflix movie that only got 1 week in theaters, and it still made that much money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to let it slide by without at least commenting on it. Andrew says, we'll make more than the Minecraft movie. You think so?
Yeah. After the trailer I just saw for that Minecraft movie.
I think you are severely underestimating families that are going to go to that movie because every single kid in their house plays Minecraft.
And also, Jack Black and Jason Momoa, I think immediately it's like, you know, 20 million each at least.
Watch
in terms
the trailer.
Of box office. I've seen the trailer. It looks fine. It honestly reminds me of Mario.
I don't disagree.
Reminds me of the Mario movie trailer. I was like, yeah, okay, it'll be the Mario movie.
I don't disagree that it looks terrible, but it's family friendly, whereas Borderlands wasn't. And I think for that reason alone, it'll clear 50 million, but it'll probably be panned. I mean, the Minions movies are pretty much, you know, widely and universally panned by critics, and those literally make billions of dollars.
Alice mentioned the Mario Brothers movie. Critics didn't really care for the Mario Super.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah. So.
Oh, when you said that Mario Brothers, said I thought you were comparing to the old 1990s.
No, Mario, the new one.
whatever the new one's called.
I was like, it's about on that level. It looks like
Mario Brothers movie.
All right. I think I've made my pick known, but I'm willing to hear arguments for the others as the overall choice. I think they're all valid choices for underperforming.
If we're going for the specific movie, then it's Borderlands. If we're going for the movie and how it affected the group, then it's Furiosa.
Yeah. I remember being in that episode, I'd have to go back and listen. Yeah. I remember being very open to the possibility of it not making the top 10 because it being a limited, like I remember saying something like, that's the movie that like movie nerds like us love, but I don't know that the general public is into Mad Max the way movie nerds are. And so it wasn't as huge of a surprise to me.
Well, even though, again, I had it up there.
Yeah.
So
everyone's going to watch it on streaming, and then everyone's going to love it and be like, wow, where was this? And I'll be like, where were you? Where were you?
You should have seen this in theaters.
Where were you when I needed you for the summer sub game? So yeah, I think that's probably the only ones I would, the only one I would put up against Borderland, as the choice. I mean, the other two are great choices, but I think it's Borderlands. What do you guys think? We can take a vote.
I'm okay with that. I didn't think it would make enough money to make the top 10 because it was only out for a couple of weeks, but 15 million is well below.
Didn't even make it to the marketing budget. Like
that cratered.
Yeah.
And also, and in the 2 weeks it has been out, it's already lost like 80% of its screens. It opened in 4,300. It's already down to like 800, I think, at last count. Like it's already technically a limited release.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's the criteria for the most underperforming, then I think we know the criteria for the most overperforming.
We shall see. That is the next category, but we'll go with Borderlands is the official pick for the biggest underperformer of 2024. All right, let's talk about the biggest overperformer. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off? What would you say fits this category the best?
Well, I have to go right out with the most obvious answer, which is It Ends With Us. $135 million. None of us even had this on our radar. I don't even know if anybody had picked it. I know the five of us didn't, and ChatGPT included. But 135 places it firmly in the top 10 with a comfortable margin to boot. And none of us, I think, even sniffed that this was going to be a breakout hit like last year's Sound of Freedom.
Not a single person had it on their list or in their wildcard picks. Not a single person even mentioned this movie.
And how many people voted total again in the summer something online?
Yeah, somewhere up towards 100. So about 100 people or so.
Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible, like that nobody even by accident picked that one, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Good choice. Good choice. I'll go next. I think I'm going to say Long Legs here, even though it didn't make the top 10. It's close. It's 13 with about 74 million, putting about 20 million out of the top 10. And that one came out of nowhere. For me, that was not one that I had even been aware of. So I'm going to throw that in the conversation. Alice, what about you?
And I was going to say on Long Legs, an important distinction there is also its budget, which was like $8 million.
Right. Yeah.
Like that was micro budget and it blew up. Whereas It Ends With Us probably had a more conventional 20 or 30 or 40.
And a more obvious audience if you stop to think about it, right? Like if you think about that book and how many people have read it and...
I hadn't read the book yet. I didn't understand.
Can you share, Aaron, it sounds like you have a link or something to like the actual budget
list.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can...
Dropped it in the chat for you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, look, there are so many options because I missed, I'm going to say Twisters, because I think I just completely skipped the American love of Hurricanes and Twisters and that sort of vibe, because it is just not, it's just not a thing here, and I didn't get it, and then I saw the movie and I was like, yeah, and then apparently it wasn't, everyone else didn't say yeah, everyone else was like, this is amazing, and then gave it $260 million just to hurt me. So, yeah, Twisters.
I like everybody's movie choices this summer being a vendetta against you.
I'm just over here.
There's a hidden subreddit somewhere. It's like, let's mess up Alice's choices.
That's what I believe. It's just a strategy on the dark web that I'm just not aware of.
No, I agree with the Twisters pick. You know, personally, but I think some of us in this panel, Jonathan especially, I think, was really bullish on it. So, like, he saw that coming. So
I reject it on principle. Andrew and I both had it in exactly the spot it ended up. And I predicted its box office total within $9 million. I'm gonna take kudos where I can and pat myself on the back.
There'll be a category for that here in a little bit.
Yeah, so, I was gonna say, so. Yeah, you come down. You're gonna get plenty of kudos. All right.
Andrew, what is your pick for biggest overperformer?
Well, it's a movie that I got made fun of for picking in my top 10. It did not make the top 10, but it was so close. It was so close to making the top 10. Coming in at number 12 for the year is Alien Romulus.
You know what's interesting?
Yeah, August 16th is when this came out, and it's already made $91 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas number 10 was $93 million. Like, this is one more week. And Romulus might kick out
Fall Guy
from that spot.
It was 3 days. 3 days after Romulus would have been in the top 10. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. We'll talk about it more when we get to the results, too, because there's some interesting possibilities that could have happened with some of this stuff. But anyways, Romulus is a great choice. It made 91. It's already at 93-something, so it's already would be in the top 10, as we just mentioned. So, I think that's a good choice as well.
You missed it by a week, Andrew.
I know.
But again, that is the reason we made fun of the pick was right. That it only had 1 week.
I was three days away from having you guys eat crow.
One of these days.
Yeah.
We didn't
eat crow about the crow, if it's any consolation.
That's true.
I definitely want to give you credit, Andrew, because I think I was probably one of the naysayers on that. Because I was like, well, this is like the 12th entry in the franchise. Is there going to be that much interest in it after all these years? And it's this weird side quill between two different movies with no returning characters. And I should have thought about the fact that
I think like there is this weird jolt towards like horror and scary films. Like people are enjoying going out, that's part of the reason Longlegs got the boost it did, is because it was advertised as being the scariest film in a decade, which I don't agree with, but that's besides the point. And so I think there is this like new desire from the adult viewing audience to go see something that'll truly terrify them. And look, Alien wasn't as terrible as it should have been. So, you know?
Yeah. I think this, I don't know. I think for this one, I think it's just, it ends with us. I don't think there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen here. It kind of came out of nowhere.
The Sound of Freedom of this year.
Yeah.
We should come up with a better analogy because that's so clunky. It's this year's The Sound of Freedom. I mean, it is.
From here on out, we will call it the It Ends with Freedom Award for biggest overperformance.
All right, Americans.
We can just call it the Freedom Position.
Just have a button next time, Aaron, that's just an eagle making a noise.
Yeah. It Ends With Us is the official overperformer of the summer. I think we could have talked about Inside Out in there as well, interestingly enough.
I'm also not surprised about Inside Out.
I'm not either. For me, Inside Out was the one we all knew that would do great.
Yeah. I wanted it to do that well. I just didn't believe that people would go and see it. And I was wrong. Yeah. Egg on my face.
We will move into our best predictions. Jonathan has already hinted at this, and I've kind of transitioned us into the one that I'll probably claim, which is Inside Out winning the summer. Everything I said in the podcast pretty much came true. It's that, as talked about in the podcast, it's that Incredibles 2, Finding Dory, that second one in a beloved franchise just absolutely dominates. It doesn't mean Inside Out 3 will as well, possibly, I don't know, but the second ones almost always do. And I knew it was going to be in this range, and the fact that it beat Deadpool and Wolverine, that also made over $600 million, by the way, is pretty impressive.
Domestic. Like that number is, there's only literally 9 other movies in history that made more money than Inside Out 2. So, take the victory lap, Aaron. That was a really good call. I knew it would do really, really well, but 650 domestic was like well outside what I predicted was
going to cost. You knew good movies make money.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? The overall total worldwide, it just became the highest grossing animated film of all time last week. Yeah. So,
That's Pixar wild.
Still doing Pixar things.
1.68 billion as of
recording. It's almost like you make a good movie that's good. It deserves it, and it will make money. What?
Well, you say that, Turning Red is a good movie. Like,
it didn't get released, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It kind of did, but they've re-released. They've re-released stuff.
No, but the initial, I feel like if they'd given it the chance that they gave Inside Out, I will also say this. I know that I have, as we'll talk about, bungled this year. However, my point on marketing stands, because the marketing for Inside Out, it was everywhere. It was on TikTok, it was on YouTube, it was on, they had all the characters, which I was like, all I could think of was, gosh, they had to animate all of this just for a marketing bit. And it was just all the characters doing little bits here and there. The posters were everywhere. So, it was. The marketing was there. And if they'd done the same for something like Turning Red, imagine if they'd released plushies and all of that, people would have gone to see it.
Yeah, but not this many people until it's Turning Red 2. I do wonder if, it's scary, because I think some Pixar movies are more ripe for sequels than others. In fact, for the longest time, by the way, my answer to what movie that doesn't have a sequel needs a sequel has been Inside Out for a decade running. And that is a movie that calls for a sequel. But do you make Coco 2? I don't think you do. No. That is not a movie that, lends itself to a sequel.
Toy Story 5.
But I guarantee you they're having conversations about, Coco and some of the other one-off Pixar movies, and knowing how well the second movies do for those franchises. But we'll see. We'll see how it happens.
I have to ask the dreaded question off topic, so let's be quick. Do you think they'll ever do a live-action version?
No. No.
Inside Out.
of Pixar movies, just in general. Because Pixar hasn't tapped that well yet.
The only one that would work is Incredibles.
I mean, it's just a Fantastic Four movie at that point. What are we doing?
I don't think Pixar lends itself to live action Disney films do.
The answer to your question, John, is unfortunately yes. I do think they will make some live action Pixars eventually.
If they run out of sequel ideas,
they're
going to
have Toy Story. Like, they're going to have somebody doing that's going to look bizarre.
Their definition of live action is what they did with The Lion King.
Well, they're doing with the prequel.
Yeah, but I mean, they call it live action, but it's just a higher budgeted CGI to make it look more real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Andrew, why don't you go next? What is the pick that you're most proud of?
I am very proud of picking Twisters right in the spot it belonged.
Mm-hmm.
I think, John, did you say that you and I, we both picked at it and we both got it right on the money?
We both had it in fourth place.
Yep.
If you feel it, chase it. That's all I got to say.
Jonathan, you want to piggyback on that, or you have a different one that you want to choose?
I think Twisters was one I was personally excited for. I was kind of championing that. So to see that do so well and just the only movie of the whole summer in the 200 million range. So it not quite enough to break into the top three, but well ahead of number five, which I also aced, which was Bad Boys Ride or Die. Still haven't actually seen that movie yet, but I knew it would make around 200 million, and it did. So I'll take the win.
Yep. All right, then Alice, what pick are you most proud of?
Look, no one can take this away from me. I had Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes exactly where it landed.
Nice.
You sure did.
I haven't even seen the movie yet, so that tells you everything you need to know.
There you go. All right, let's talk about our worst picks. Continue. Alice, what's your worst pick?
You could take your pick, Is it Furiosa at number two? Is it Garfield? Or is it Borderlands at the end? I think it's Garfield, probably, because it just, it made a lot of money internationally, okay? It's in the top 10 internationally. So, I have that. But
well, Garfield is only in 11th. Like, yeah, it barely missed the top 10.
That's a fine pick. I wouldn't even. That's there's like absolutely zero shame.
It's
in that
just
pick.
Because it's another one that didn't make it. And I have already spoken about. We've already spoken about Borderlands and Furiosa. Look, Furiosa is probably my worst pick. It's number two. That was stupid. I really had so much Australian pride that was misplaced, and I will never have any again. So, look, okay, I'll go with Furiosa just because it is so wrong.
Yeah, you had the highest of the five of us, and
yep,
that was.
But it made it to 14. Like, it's not they didn't grossly underperform. They're not Borderlands, but like they just didn't perform as I wanted them to.
So it wasn't Australia's worst pick of the summer. That was your breakdancer. That was the
ray gun.
Oh, Alice is like, I was gonna go the entire podcast without having to talk about that.
This is just me. Do you want me to bring up all the silly things that Americans have done over the past 3 months?
Hey, we absolutely have. I just, ray gun, man, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
And she keeps talking and everyone's like, go away. Nobody wants to talk to you again. You know, she's a uni professor. She teaches people.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So people are getting taught by her in class right now. Oh, those poor children.
All right, there you go. Those are our best predictions and our worst. Did we do our worst predictions?
No, we only did me.
Yeah. Aaron's just wanting to move on.
Yeah.
No, I will go next. I will go next. And I'm going to do like the humble brag version of this. I knew my worst prediction and said it the day we did the podcast. And in fact, I think there was a moment we allowed Alice to change her list. And I said, okay, well, then I'm going to do this. And I'm going to move Bad Boys up to number 5 and move everything else down. and that would have been great. But it was my worst pick not to see that pre-making my list, not to think about the Bad Boys audience and how well those movies do. I'm kicked myself ever since the day of the podcast recording that I didn't have Bad Boys Ride or Die higher. So yes, that is my worst pick, and I knew it immediately. And it's so frustrating. Jonathan, what about you? What's your worst pick?
Besides Furiosa, which was my one and only miss, proud to say that I'm the only person who only missed one. Mm-hmm. I have to go with Inside Out because as soon as I heard you, Aaron, just sort of list off its many qualities and your really accurate predictions, I was like, shoot, because I had it at third. And as soon as you closed your mouth, I was like, I should have put it at one or two. And I still feel pretty good about Deadpool and Wolverine at one. I feel like that was an obvious and safe pick.
Sure.
But as soon as we recorded the podcast, I was like, that was really convincing. I should have put it higher. And indeed, when I went and made my YouTube video for my audience, I did switch it because those are my rules. I do what I want.
It's awesome.
I still kept it at two, though. And all things considered, had I swapped that with Despicable Me 4, that actually only would have netted me one additional point. It would not have been a big change.
Yeah. What about you, Andrew?
Oh, obviously, it's Borderlands. I put that son of a gun all the way up at number 3, and that was just brutal. I went back and I listened to the podcast. I was so confident and proud. Like, you guys have no idea. I'm coming in at number 3.
I'm
Borderlands.
I'm picturing McConaughey in Interstellar yelling from behind the bookcase, "Don't go!
Don't let me leave, Murph."
To be clear, just so we're clear, the movie that made $15 million total would have had to have made over $355 million in 2 weeks to have come in at number 3. Just to be clear, that's what it would have had to have done.
And like I said at the other podcast, I'm not good at this game. So, but yeah, that is definitely the most brutal pick I had. Easily.
Yeah. There you go. There's the best of us and the worst of us all together. Well, it is time. Let's head into the results for what we are doing here today.
All right, and that's today. My time. I'm going to have to go, guys. It's been nice.
Hey, Alice, you didn't come in last. No, you did not.
On a technicality.
You beat the rabbit.
The ChatGPT coming in last, so we will start there with those 44 points.
I think I did that math right. I had to do that one by hand, and I think it's either 44 mm-hmm. or 45 based on placement.
It's less than me. I'll tell you that much.
Yes, it is. I'll load up the official here. Just so I have it in front of me.
I did get it correct.
44 points.
Okay.
Yes, 44 points is correct. ChatGPT had Deadpool up at top, mm-hmm. and that was close. Despicable Me second, that was close. Inside Out third, also fairly close. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, good pick there. Got some points there. Furiosa was a zero, as it was with a lot of people. Bike Riders, a zero, although didn't do bad. Bike Riders.
What was it, like 18th or 19th of the
20th.
Summer?
You know, better than Borderlands.
22 million.
Quiet Place Day One was the only one ChatGPT had in the exact right place at number 7. Good pick there. And then Bad Boys Ride or Die was a little too low, but got some points there. The Kraven the Hunter pick didn't work out at all for ChatGPT. The only choice made by anybody that didn't even have a release over the summer.
When was that officially
postponed? It was meant to release, and then it like got pushed to December. Like, it's been pushed about 6 times now.
My question is, when did it get pushed? Because I feel like by when we recorded in late April, I think we kind of already sensed that it was going to move, but maybe I'm imagining that.
I think so. I know it was at the end of the summer, or it may have even been Labor Day weekend that it was originally scheduled. So it was a ridiculous pick, no matter what. But yeah. Twisters managed a couple points for ChatGPT, and then The Crow, I think the only one who mentioned. Oh, no. Andrew had The Crow in his as well. But
in my what do you call wild cards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Crow came in 37th for the summer. Fall Guy nets a point for one of the wild cards. And then Maxine.
A movie that did worse than Borderlands.
Just barely.
15.1 million for Borderlands. Right.
Well, that's as niche as films get, really. So,
yeah.
I thought that those movies were like
they're huge,
very popular.
Those are not movies you want to go see in a cinema either, for sure. Like, you want to watch that at home.
I'm certain Maxine's going to pull huge numbers when it releases to streaming. If it's not already doing that on demand, it's going to do real well. So I know for a while earlier in the year, X and Pearl were both in like Netflix's or whatever platform it's on, their top 10 most streamed movies of the week or whatever. For a few weeks in a row, so I suspect Maxine will do well eventually. But it made 15.1, 28th overall.
There you go. So ChatGPT comes in 5th amongst us. Alice, you beat ChatGPT by 4 points. Woo! Congratulations for your 4th place finish here. Take us over your list.
It's okay. We can move on. This year, I decided to try and do research, and I really tried to like actually take things in. I'm never doing that again. I'm vibing it from now on. And you know why? Because I should really get a thing that helps me and a handicap, because I'm in a completely different country. I'm a completely different part of the world. What I see is different. And that's what I have to say. Anyway, so I completely bungled it with Furiosa. I bungled it with Garfield. Borderlands didn't even make close to it. And then Alien Romulus and Horizon American Saga also weren't, like, they didn't really hit. But I had Twisters as a last minute because I completely screwed it with Beetlejuice in my original pick. So, yay! We're not reading calendars properly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fairly competent list. It didn't work out that way. And honestly, you know, the Fall Guy, what's the movie that the surprise, if It Ends With Us doesn't have a surprise, you're going to get 10 points for the fall guy, you know? Yeah. Like there's a couple things that could have happened.
I didn't come last even in the overall competition, and I have that to hold on to. So there you go. Watch me next year. I'm vibing it only. I'm doing no research. I'm just looking up what's coming out. I'm going to vibe it only. Watch me win. Just watch.
All right. We have marked it on the day. Alice calls her shot for next year, vibing it to the win.
You know, I really just did this so Andrew didn't feel as bad as he did last year.
So. Why am I the punching bag?
Andrew did really well.
Exactly. You're welcome.
You picked three.
Andrew, coming in with 51 points, third amongst us. Talk us through your thoughts on your list.
Yeah, it's kind of like a shotgun spread. I hit a lot and I missed a lot, really. Starting off with my Deadpool and then Inside Out got me 7 points for each. Man, that Borderlands, that's going to haunt me for a long time on this show. I can guarantee it. Like, somebody's like, down the road, I'm going to be giving a review. Like, yeah, well, you thought Borderlands was going to be the third highest grossing movie of all time of the summer. Then Twisters, I got right on the money. Furiosa completely missed. And then both Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and A Quiet Place Day One, I got perfectly. Fall Guy, I had next, got me 6 points. Alien Romulus, so close, man, so close, but next time. And then a movie that I totally just, I've never understood, I guess I just never understood the power or the magnitude that is the Minions and the Despicable Me money-making machine that it is. So, yeah. And then I didn't get anything for my wild cards, although I do want to mention that Trap did fairly well. It got, like, I think 40,000.
40 million.
Or 40 million. Yeah, thank you. That's a movie I just wanted to do well and to be good, and it was both things. So
yeah, no, that, I mean, that was enough for 15th place. I think your wild cards were all interesting picks, but not, like, unreasonable. I thought The Bike Riders had potential to do really well, and it did 21 million, and Trap did twice as much as that. But yeah, no, I think your list, given last year's sort of chat GPT debacle, was a much stronger. You got three bullseyes, and I'd agree with a lot of the picks. When we recorded, I thought it was a really safe, really strong top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You did really well.
I just wanted to give you some compliments because I feel bad we keep ragging on you.
No, it's okay because I'm now the worst one by far, but it actually has a brain and a soul, so it's okay.
No, not by far. By 2 points.
Yeah, again. Yeah.
2 points.
If the surprise movie doesn't happen, if It Ends With Us doesn't happen, you know, you would have those 2 points.
You know what it is? Because I was thinking about it. Because last year I really clinched it. I did so well with my vibing of Barbie. And again, I should have trusted in my girls. Now I will. It's okay. This is when we learn. This is when we learn and come back better.
I mean, you're making a joke, Alice, but like there's legitimately a huge market for the females and women that for some reason not only is underrepresented and undermarketed to, it's also under predicted. Like we don't like why did we think a movie that appeals to women wouldn't do well? They only get like one good movie a year. Of course they're going to flock to it. And it's kind of
frustrating. And I am one of those. And I just, I don't know what happened to my, I'm telling you, it's because I hadn't read the book yet. If I had read the book, this would have been a different, this day would be different, but I hadn't, I had no idea.
Right.
That's the lesson. You just don't read enough.
I know. Of everyone here. Yeah. I'm the illiterate one amongst us.
Yeah. You should read more like I do.
Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of me, I'm next. Managed to score 60 points in talk about a hit and miss bracket. I hit five of the 10 dead on and somehow didn't win. Five of them. I had the top three all correct, and then Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes I had correct.
That was really impressive, honestly. You nailed 1, 2, 3 in order perfectly. That was well done.
And then If also landed where I had it, which we haven't talked a lot about If, but that ended up in the 9 slot where I had it. But then the others were two that completely missed, Furiosa and Garfield dropping out because of It Ends With Us. And then the others were just low. Bad Boys was only 3 points for me. Had Twisters way too low with 4 points. And Fall Guy way too high with 2 points. So I got those 50 for being dead on, but then I only got 9 points otherwise. So, you know, that's... well, and I get the 1 point for having Quiet Place Day One in my wild cards. So, yeah, you know, I look at this and I'm just like, I don't know.
Tale of Two Cities, other than moving...
Yeah. Other than, you know, moving Bad Boys up, the other stuff, I would make the same choices, even though they're wrong choices. Like, I'm not saying, like, if I knew the future. I'm just saying if I were to go back in time day of, Bad Boys is the only one I knew in the moment that that I was incorrectly picking. I didn't think Twisters would be that big of a hit.
How high do you think you would have repositioned Bad Boys?
Well, I think on the day, I think I'll have to go back and listen. I thought on the actual recording, I said I'm going to move Bad Boys up to number 5 and move everything else down. But yeah, I don't know. That actually would have ended up costing me 6 points as well, because it would have moved Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and If out of those positions.
It'd be interesting to recalculate that, because I think it would have been pretty close if you had done that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. See. I mean, it would have been +7 minus it would have, actually, that's only +1. So honestly, I don't know that it really made that much of a difference.
Maybe not.
Again, because that's the power of nailing things right on, right? Is right. Like that Kingdom and If choice, that's an extra 6 points.
Yeah, so it's worth mentioning for those who don't know the math, like us nerds. You get 10 points for an exact pick, but only 7 if you're off in either direction by 1. If you're off by 2 slots, you get 6, 5, 4 down the line. So the difference between a bullseye and just right outside that ring is 3 points. Mm-hmm. And that definitely can be a big difference.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. I don't know. As I look at it, I feel really good about it. It just wasn't as good as our... winner this year, Jonathan Paula, winning amongst the 5 of us, the 4 of us here, and then also Chad GPT, who joins us every year. I stole that joke from another podcast, by the way. But anyways.
I was going to say, Andrew, next year with the voice changer, do like a surf bro. That'd be hilarious. Make it a Chad.
Total Chad. Chad GPT.
Yeah.
Righto.
Jonathan, talk us through your list. How did you do this? How did you score 65 points?
If Aaron's list was a collection of home runs, mine was just a lot of doubles, like a lot of get on base and, you know, rack up the points, because I only got 2 films dead on, Twisters and Bad Boys, in positions 4 and 5. But 1, 2, 3, I had Deadpool, Despicable Me, and Inside Out. And they all ranked top 3, but not in that order. So I got 7, 7, and 6. Then I got 2 10s for Twisters and Bad Boys. Quiet Place, I had it in 6th position, but I think it ended up, one position lower than that, in 7th. Then I had Furiosa. That was my only miss of the year. And I think we all were kind of in agreement that felt out of character. We all expected that to do a little better than...
Yeah, it seemed a very safe pick.
$67 million. Dollars. Like, I thought that would make 100 easy.
I think Aaron's 100% right. I think that was a classic case of us being like movie people and film people and not thinking outside of our... like small, you know, nerd like view, because it is very true. That happens to me all the time, where I'm like, no one would ever do this. And then I talk to a friend, they're like, no, you have to think about normal people. Normal people don't think like this. Normal people are not interested in this movie. This is a movie for movie people. And so it's about separating that. And that's how you get Despicable Me at number 4 and all that sort of stuff.
No, that's exactly right. And I like to think of my mom when I have those. Like, would my mom know about this movie? Would she want to see it? And the answer is definitely no. Despicable Me, she's like, oh, let's take the grandkids to that. So I kind of, using that as like my own personal anecdotal vibe check, totally agree. And I maybe should have sniffed it out a little better. But I will take a little bit of credit that of all of us, we did have Furiosa. I had it the lowest. I was the least optimistic about its chances. Mm-hmm. Clearly not enough. It's still, I had it like 8 points higher than it ended up in 14th. And then in eighth place, I put The Fall Guy. That was two spots ahead of where it ended up. I had Kingdom of Planet of the Apes down in ninth. That ended up in sixth. So I was off by a few more there. And then If, Imaginary Friends, I had that down in ninth or tenth place, and it placed ninth. So I got a lot of picks right next to where they ended up. And one, two, three, four, I got four of them off by one and two that were dead on. And I think that sort of accuracy is maybe the word of the day there. I was not able to pick the exact picks, but I was really close to them.
It ends with us knocking Garfield out of the top 10 was big for you, too, because that was, you know, one that the few of the rest of us would have had, you know, 4, 5, 6 points on. But then it got knocked out, whereas you would have only had 1 point on it. So, you know, that's a decent swing, you know, to only have missed one. Right. Because of Garfield getting knocked out of the.
You're saying it was up. It was good that Garfield didn't make it because I didn't. I had Garfield in my honorable mention, my wild cards, but not in my top 10. And you're saying, had I flipped that, had I actually placed it 10th, it would have been a bigger points win.
Well, if it had ended up in 10th, if it ends with you hadn't surprised everybody in those last couple of weeks and knocked it out, you know, of 10th place, you would have gotten a point for it. But the rest of us would have gotten like 4, 5, or 6 points for it, yes, you know, kind of idea.
Yeah.
So it would have been a little bit of a swing. I think I did the math, and if it ends with us never shows up, you still beat me by one. I think you beat me by 1 point if it ends with us doesn't show up or something.
I could see that because I had 65, you had 60. You had Garfield in seventh place. It would have ended up in 10th. Mm-hmm. So you would have got like 3 or 4 points, and that would have been not quite enough to make up the 5 difference.
It would have been I think I would have gotten 5 points on it, right? Yeah. 7, 6. Yeah, 5. I would have gotten 5 points on it on Garfield, and you would have gotten 1. So
fascinating. I love that stuff.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Well, and here's the other thing. If this ends 1 week later, we tie. And it's wild because if it ends 1 week later, Alien Romulus comes in at number 10, right? And also it ends with us leapfrogs Quiet Place Day One. So it really changes things because A Quiet Place Day One was, you know, only in my honorable mentions, but it would have cost others, you know, a couple points. And Alien Romulus would have knocked what was it? The fall guy out, which only cost me 2 points because I had it way too high. So interesting that would have only cost me 2 points, but would have cost you 6 points. You know what I mean? So there's 4 point swing right there just by Alien Romulus popping into the top 10. So it's wild how that stuff can change stuff.
Hadn't even considered not only does Romulus make the top 10 if you wait a week, it ends with us, moves up. There was a lot of close finishes. The Fall Guy, Garfield, and Alien all finished within $2 million of each other. Like those three, 10, 11, 12, all plus or minus $1.5 million at the 92 range. And then, it ends with us in Quiet Place right around $137, $138 million. Right around Labor Day, and the rest of these movies were quite spread out. We had $20 million difference between Kingdom and Bad Boys. Then there's a $70 million jump to Twisters, and then there's a $90 million jump to Despicable Me, and then a $250 million jump before you get to second place with Deadpool, and then Inside Out another $50 million ahead of that. So it was interesting to see the parity of the totals. As the lower you go down, the closer and closer they bunch together, which makes sense mathematically, but it was what began as a very depressed summer. I was not sure if any movie would do well or break out the way Barbenheimer did last
year. Well, that's what I wanted to bring up. Like, as a summer, it was a very interesting one.
Let's talk general thoughts, as we kind of get ready to do the overall results.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Furiosa, I hate to harp on, but it was my biggest failure. But it came out Memorial Day weekend, which doesn't mean much for me, but I know that that's a big like potential money grabber at the box office for Americans. And it, like, I remember all the news sites of how poorly all the films that released Memorial Day weekend did. And so there was this like weird lull, and then Inside Out 2, and it just kind of like boosted everything like beyond, you know? And so it was, in comparison to last year's box office, it's, I feel like it's a very different vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's the case of, you know, two giants and, you know, the rest.
We actually
you know,
I did remember that there's actually, I was about to ask the question and I realized I have the answer. The cumulative total gross for the summer of 2024 was $3.6 billion compared to last year with Barbenheimer was $4.03 billion. So yeah, we were, I don't think as depressed as I thought. It was only down 10% year over year, a difference of $300 million, give or take, which in the grand scheme of things is like one more big hit that we didn't get. Borderlands maybe could have done a little better. I think Furiosa, certainly I expected to do at least like 100, 120, and it did.
Well, I think it was more spread out last year. Like it was obviously Barbie ran away, but then beyond that, it was like quite, but this year it was literally like two big ones and then everything else was like
much to give lower. You like some perspective, last year number 10 was Elemental, 150 million. So 10th place was 150. This year 10th place was 90 million. So I think just in general, a rising tide kind of lifts all boats. I think the Barbenheimer effect last summer, all the movies did a little better. There were, I think the breakout hits were bigger, but even the also rans, I think did really well. Whereas this year, Inside Out was way out of the park, and then everything else was kind of did okay. I think Twisters is maybe the one of the surprises of the summer that did better than most people thought. But the rest of these were like 170 million for an Apes movie. Like that is actually kind of maybe not below expectations, but on the lower end of I think where we thought it might perform. So everything was a little bit depressed, but thankfully I think Inside Out and Deadpool alone kind of carried it up. I mean, those two movies alone domestically made, you know, 1.3 billion. So that really, really helped.
Yeah. I don't think you can be too disappointed with the top six. You know, all of them, you know, up close to 200 million ish. And I don't think you can be disappointed with the top seven. A Quiet Place performing at 139 is not bad. So, and it ends with us performing at 130. Like the top eight are all like, you know, performed as well as those people probably could have expected. So, but The Fall Guy underperformed, you know, I think Garfield underperformed as far as what they were hoping for. They were thinking, so Horizon, you know, Borderlands. So it was just, it's just a, you know, a tale of successes and failures as it is most years.
I'm glad we kind of pulled it out though, because after Memorial Day, when Fall Guy, I don't want to say flop, but when it underperformed, it was like, oh boy, is this, are we cooked? Are we going to go to movies anymore? It's like the entire Memorial Day weekend was down like 80% year over year. But thankfully, as the summer went on, I think more people went in July, and August was actually really strong. So thankfully it kind of turned around, but back in May, it did not look great.
And, you know, we didn't have a Marvel movie as, you know, to open the season with either, you know, there was only one Marvel movie this year. So,
what's interesting is that of the top 10, only the bottom three are like, quote unquote, original. Not bottom three. 8 and 9 are the only ones not based on previous like film or television properties.
I'll give you Fall Guy.
You can give Fall Guy in there. That's okay. nobody. I would estimate maybe 0.05% of the people that went to see Fall Guy did so because they loved the TV show. You know what I mean?
I will say this: the after credit scene popped up, and I was like, I don't get it. And then I had to look it up. Only two of them. Yeah, literally. But like of them, and It Ends With Us it's based on a book with a huge, huge.
I was going to say, I would say Ends With Us is more based on a property that brought people to the theater.
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like a reboot or a sequel or anything like that. Because I am of the, I'm an advocate of like, there are so many, not that you would know this, Aaron, but there are so many books that like are worthy of adaptation. Like, as someone who reads, there are so many books with these like amazing, expansive worlds and stories that have literally never even been touched by a movie producer or a television producer that I think would do amazingly. And I think that if you don't have to keep rebooting and sequeling like movies and stuff, you can go into a library and just pick one and then make it on that. So
I love the phrase, there are books. You don't know, Aaron, there are books.
Famously, I mean, most of Hitchcock movies are just, you know, books or plays. Like, it's, you know, it's not like he was, you know, writing the original material.
I'm not saying we have to be fully original, all right? Everybody, all the writers and producers in Hollywood, calm down. I'm not saying be fully original. I'm saying just go to your bookshelf, pick one, adapt it. You know, one that hasn't been adapted yet. There are so many. There's just, it's insane. Come on, people. And then
I want to quickly call out what I think might be the winner of the summer, which is Blake Lively appearing, I guess, in voice cameo in a couple of them. Three different movies. She was in Deadpool, technically, and technically. And then It Ends With Us. I think that was, I mean, she kind of got the voice.
Not if you go with Reputation. Her reputation's tanked. That's money-wise, sure.
She appeared in three of the top 10. Only one of them in person on camera, but that's not bad. That was like the year John C. Reilly was in three of the Best Picture nominees, just by like coincidence. And whenever year Chicago won, he just happened to be in all the good movies that year.
If we need to talk about it after the show, that's fine. I'm so confused by your statement, Alice. I have no idea what you mean by her reputation tanked.
Oh, thank God. I thought I was the only one.
No, my impression is that she like skyrocketed this summer. No. Like everything I've read is that like she's like more in the limelight with Ryan now. And
okay, well, because this is a movie podcast, so I don't want to spend, because I know you guys don't like to spend too much time on this.
Is it gossip stuff or is it like industry stuff?
It's bad promotional tour decisions. Very poor promotional tour decisions when it comes to It Ends With Us, which has kind of made her a bit of a persona non grata and is already affecting her future roles. So that's what I'll say.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that. I hadn't heard any of that.
The wrong way. When she was promoing the movie, when she was doing interviews, she just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way with her answers, the style, and kind of
all the decisions she made for someone who was the star of a movie about something so serious. She essentially just completely tried to ignore it and like hide it, sweep it under the rug. And as you can imagine, that wasn't a great decision, especially at the same time she was promoting her new hair care line and trying to make It Ends With Us a Barbie moment, which is one does not equate the other. And as a result, it's kind of lost her a lot of fans. So. Yes.
Okay.
There you go. But money wise, yeah, she's fine.
I still like you, Blake. I'm still on your team.
That's
people
good.
Will forget within a week.
That does seem to be the going.
Again, I'm fairly in touch with the movie world, and I had no clue about any of that stuff. So
I
think it was kind of relegated entirely to like the TikTok crowd. Like if you're in those feeds, you get to hear about it and see the clips. But otherwise, same thing with like the Twitter bubble, like. Sometimes things blow up. I'm like, how is this? This is the most explosive bombshell news report. And it's like, oh, yeah, only to idiots who only get their news on Twitter and never go outside in the real world. And I'm including myself in that statement. Every day I see something on Twitter that should shake the world. And it's like, oh, that's right. No one else cares.
Except I will say this, actual news sites were reporting on it. So like not just movie news sites, like normal news sites and stuff. I saw it on my TV and I was like, why is this on 7 News? And
getting back to the box office results and how incredibly I did.
It's my fault.
And my excellent first place finish. Are there any other final thoughts, wrap-ups, general just general consensus on
how. No, I think we kind of covered the summer. Let's finish off with the overall results. It was close. By the way, Jonathan, you came in 5th. And you were there were
in the overall
with 65
people on sifpop.com, right?
Yeah, there was one other person who had 65 like you did, but they had three dead on as opposed to your right. two dead on, and that is the tiebreaker. So yep. they came in fourth. Mm-hmm. There was Aaron at 66 points, 1 point above you guys, had four of the top five dead on, which is pretty impressive. And then there were two at the top, both with 67 points, just a couple points higher than you, Jonathan. Brett had 67 points and three dead on, but the winner is Elizabeth Zamer, 67 points and Ooh. The top four all dead on, called one through four, and then only missed Furiosa.
Missed Furiosa. That's what's so fascinating is everybody in, I'm double checking now, everybody in the top 10, and I could probably keep clicking and go further. Mm-hmm. Everybody had Furiosa wrong. I don't know what everyone in our space, in our orbit, just we all were kind of looking at the same tea leaves and so we all came to the same conclusion.
This is what we need wrong. To do. Next year, we need to talk to the person that least is involved in the movie world and get yes. them to check our list.
I will literally give my mom a phone call and be like, Mom, here's what I'm picking for this summer. Which ones have you heard of? I don't know what that is. Oh, yeah. Bad Boys. Yeah. I know Martin Lawrence. I like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
just put a question mark next to any movies you don't yeah. know.
Yep.
Yes.
See, that doesn't help me because my mom is who helped me get into movies. I need to find someone.
I will literally find a normie. I'm going to pull yeah. my parents.
Can I call your parents?
Good idea. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just go ahead. John, what is that number? Go ahead and give everybody your parents' number. Anybody with SIFPOP can give them a call for the normies. No, we will not do that. Well, there you go. That is the SIFPOP Summer Sum Game 2024. Congrats again to Elizabeth and to Jonathan for winning. Look forward. Elizabeth, if you've got something you want me to say on the show, just email it to me. Aaron at SIFPOP.com should do it, and or feedback at SIFPOP.com. You can do it either place, and we'll make sure and read that on the show. Within reason, whatever words you want to put into my mouth, you can do so as your congratulations.
She's going to make you give a full-throated endorsement of Blake Lively.
Within reason. Mm-hmm. Or rejection of. Either way, I will say the words you put in front of me within reason. Yes, we did a podcast. Congratulations. We managed to make predictions and have them come incorrectly and incorrectly at the same time. Congratulations to all. That's going to do it for SIFPOP today. Thanks for joining us. It's part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find more about other shows on the network by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out again today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you to Jonathan Paula for hanging out again today. Jonathan, where do you want to send people?
You know, as we head into election season, follow me on Twitter if you want to get lukewarm, totally populist election political takes at John Paula. I'm not going to surprise you with anything, but if you want somebody else to complain about world politics, I'm your guy. Good place to be.
J-O-N-P-A-U-L-A. On Twitter, or Xter, or TwitX, or whatever you want.
Still Twitter.
Whatever you want to call it. Alice, what is where do you want people to find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Letterboxd at AliGMich. And, you know, we can all hang out and sing the Australian National Anthem because we clearly still don't understand the US and its way of working. Australians all let us rejoice. Anyway, I'll stop there.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Wait, did they sing that anthem in the breakdancing medals? Oh, I don't remember if that anthem came up.
can't. I was going to bring you guys a little kangaroo or something as my little souvenir. Forget when I came it. Over. Not it's doing not it happening. Anymore. Definitely not a kangaroo. Not after her performance.
That's amazing. Well, we appreciate you being here, Alice. We really do. We do not associate you with the artist formerly known as Raygun.
I do not endorse Raygun. I endorse Jay Attack, our male breakdancer. He was great. Everybody should look him up, please.
There you go. Much love and gratitude to our SIFPOP members as well. Thank you so much for supporting SIFPOP. You can do that at Patreon. Patreon.com/SIFPOP if you want to look up the details there. Lots of ways to connect with us. Feel free to leave a comment, rating, or review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can also email us at feedback@SIFPOP.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too, so let them know about it. And that listening is much easier than gauging Blake Lively's star power. That was written before the show, if you could believe it or not. Amazing prognostication all around for me today. We'll be back next week with Beetlejuice, and I'm not going to say it. We'll be back with that and more. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.